And confirming, oh, okay, never mind. Confirming we're recording.
Got it. There you go. Michelle, I'll get the notification now. So, well, welcome. Thank you. I think this is our fourth meeting as a group. Excited to share today with some of our initial results in some of our study area. We can get this started. So today, really just want to talk about some of the general project updates, public outreach updates, and our standard updates with what's happening in Simsbury. We know that's kind of in a little bit of a separate process. We have some initial results from the screening process for East Hartford and Bloomfield. So really going to try to get there to talk about what alignments we looked at and really what some of the results were and how some of those areas are going to really look through the screening results. We have a really initial recommendation from the project team. We can talk about it as a group. We've been talking about it with each of those towns. And then we will really talk about next steps from where we go from here. We'll wrap up just talking about Griffin Line and next comments. And again, public meeting will have a public comment at the end. So this is a schedule that we've seen each of the prior meetings. We are obviously here in August, really towards the end of the screening analysis phase, moving into shortlist alternatives and really refining up some of the preferred alternatives that we really want to take a more detailed look at. We are due really for an update to the public in terms of newsletters, so we can talk about that, where that lands after this meeting, and some additional engagement with survey pop-ups through the fall. Just a note, proposing here to replace one of our November meetings with really two additional meetings at the end of October and mid-December, and then end of January, just with the spacing and really where we are with specifically the Hartford section. Just want to make sure that we have enough check-ins as a group to move things along. I'm getting some feedback. I'm just going to mute some people if my team can watch that as well. Thank you. We talked a little bit about the Griffin Line portion of this study at the last meeting. We did get the contract earlier in July. That is really shaping up to be a 3 to 4 month process. Putting that here in August, that will really take us out to October and November. So that's really how that's going to fit in with this study. Just generally, we've also been really busy on the project team, really reaching out to many of the large stakeholders as listed here, having had many conversations with many of these organizations. So really a lot happening in the background as we're taking a look at some of the options for some of the trails in these areas. Just standard public outreach update. To date, we've really had outreach with approximately 220 members of the public and in person. Again, we have some series of pop-up events in each of those towns. I think we have six left, as well as public meetings at the tail end of this project. So we expect that number to grow. We have about 160 emails in our data set that we can email to directly from the project, and about 24 comments that we've logged either via email or online form, much of those related to some of the work at Simsbury, and about 65 submissions on the interactive map so thus far. Really what we're looking at for future engagement through this fall, as we move towards a short list of alternatives and getting some visualizations with the newsletter and the survey, some additional pop-up events. We have six more scoped. One-on-one stakeholder meetings. We'll do the call again, and we'll note some of the kind of the thorny areas that we might want to have a field visit for. We are open as a project team to meeting with anyone that we need to keep this process moving along. And certainly online engagement with emails and newsletters. This winter, really moving towards final public meetings. So that's really our next set of formal meetings with a preferred alignment, as well as town council meetings and approval in the winter and spring. So that's really where we're going for with public outreach. Bill, do you have a update on Simsbury?
Sure. Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Perfect.
Yeah, I could jump in for just a few minutes. I do have a handful of slides for the committee just to, you know, provide a little update on Simsbury. And, you know, one thing that's sort of exciting update for those that haven't been over on Route 189 for a while, the pavement is now down on the side path. So it's really exciting that Terrafill Connector Trail is on its way and should be done relatively soon to, you know, kind of further link the various trails in the region. So some good news there. Next slide. And just, you know, as you all recall, the Simsbury effort is on a bit of a different timeline than the other communities for various reasons. We thought we would be kind of just finishing up, in essence, the effort in the last few months, but, you know, no surprise, but also no significant issues, but, you know, it's taken a little bit longer than we had thought initially in the original schedule. So there's kind of another month or so of work. We have the final milestone presentation, which is a presentation to the select board. We initially thought would be sometime in the middle of the summer, but that will be done at the select board September meeting. Which will be open to the public, of course. I don't have the date on that, but certainly will be made available for those that want to attend. And the, you know, sort of in line with that will be the draft recommendations report coming out of that as well. Next slide. And just kind of a reminder of, you know, where we left off last time. We incorporated the screening criteria that has been not precise, but generally consistent within all of the four communities within the Capital Region East Coast Greenway feasibility study that we're working on here. So these should look familiar. The off-road as being a critical component, of course, traffic safety, connectivity, and, you know, here in Simsbury, the connectivity from Simsbury Town Center with Terrafill Town Center was really kind of one of the real critical ones. Right-of-way issues, environmental issues, and opportunities to promote economic development is one of the important screening criteria as well. Next. So in using that screening criteria, you know, this goes back, I think this actually may have been presented at the last advisory committee meeting. This goes back a couple of months, but this was, you know, the preliminary evaluation that was then refined and put into a matrix using the screening criteria to develop the evaluation to, you know, score each of the various options that we had developed in order to inform kind of a recommendation for a preliminary preferred alignment. Next slide. So all those scores, I know you can't read any of those, but just as a summary of the various options, you know, in total with all the sub options, there were 9. And, you know, the scores ranged from 129 as a high to 77.6 as a low. Next slide. And, you know, in looking at the scores and, you know, a variety of other factors too, because, you know, the scores aren't absolute, but certainly they were informing, you know, where the project team and the town wanted to go with the preliminary preferred corridor. And it was the alternative 2, which, you know, clearly scored the highest for a variety of reasons and that we've kind of looked into with a little more detail, but not disregarding, you know, all of the others in its entirety, but kind of, you know, looking at this one in a little more detail just because it did so clearly come out on top. Next slide. Looking at it in a little more detail, this is kind of zooming into the portion of the corridor adjacent to the Governor's Bridge condos. You know, this is the trickiest part of the option two. Everything to the left, which is in essence to the south, this option lies on a an old rail embankment that's kind of elevated 4 or 5 feet above the wetlands that lie adjacent to it. So generally not an issue from an environmental point of view, in terms of encroachments or anything, any impacts on cultural resources are pretty minimal. And then even to the right or to the north, it's minimal as well. But, you know, it's in this area where things get a little challenging. So we wanted to kind of show what that corridor that, you know, could move around certainly a handful of feet in any direction. Whoops. Could be moving around a handful of feet in any direction, but we want to get a sense of the proximity to some of the condominium buildings. And in fact, as you can see, that there are a few spots where it is tight, and we you know, are trying to work through some of the issues in terms of, you know how to make this alignment work from a design point of view, from a planning point of view. It's not just proximity to condos. There are, you know, some of the environmental issues that we're trying to work through as well, at least for this preliminary preferred corridor that we are looking at right now, in addition to potentially one or two other backup corridors as well that will be presented to the select board in September. Next. And, you know, what we've done with the, you know, outreach in the last month or so, clearly with the preliminary preferred alignment or corridor being that option two and the proximity to the condominium buildings, the town has had a couple of meetings with both the Condo Association Board of Directors. The association also put together a trail committee. The town has met with them as well. There are some concerns out there for sure, as I'm sure you can imagine. Those discussions are ongoing. The team also met with the National Park Service Wild and Scenic Rivers Program representative and reps from the Farmington River Watershed Association. You know, the focus of that meeting that was just a couple weeks ago was, you know, the alignments, proximity to the river, the cultural resource issues there, the outstanding resource values that are, you know, a part of Wild and Scenic River designation was certainly a big part of the discussion as well, and any impact that this may have to the town's designation as Wild and Scenic River and part of the Lower Farmington River and Canal Brook Wild and Scenic Committee as well. So these are ongoing discussions, but, you know, these were important meetings that the town and or the project team had with some stakeholders just recently in July. Next. So just quickly to wrap up our remaining tasks, of course, the final presentation, we're gonna look in a little more detail with the preliminary preferred alignment, develop some of the plans in a little more detail, still planning level, of course, but a little more detail, develop a section or two, develop a 3D rendering or two, look at some probable costs for the segments. And then we're, you know, in essence, just this week, kind of starting with the draft summary report for our work in Simsbury as well. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what we've been doing in our work, our planning work with the town of Simsbury since the last time we met.
Great, thank you, Bill. So let's hold off, I guess. We got really three sections here. We got Simsbury, East Hartford, and Bloomfield. So let's get through the set of those three, and then we'll kind of stop and talk about some of the questions. So just screening update. We presented this slide last meeting. We're taking a look at really three independent gaps in the main part of the study area in Bloomfield, Hartford, and East Hartford. East Hartford, of course, is really a well-defined gap between the Founders Bridge and Simmons Road, where the Charter Oak Greenway terminates currently. Between downtown and Bloomfield Center, we are really defining that as one consistent gap here. Bloomfield Center is really the common point for all the alignments that go through Bloomfield. That was a critical destination identified through conversations with the town and the public in Bloomfield. And then we have Bloomfield North of the center. So we'll be presenting some of the really Bloomfield North as one kind of gap. And then they have initial results for how we might make connections, either if it goes through Keeney Park or south towards the Griffin Line in U-Hart. So those two, there's some thoughts of where that might land as well. So, but that, of course, that is combined with what we might want to think about in the Hartford section of that gap as well. So just going back to the criteria, Phil alluded to this with Simsbury, there are a lot of similar criteria. There are some additional criteria as well. So we presented this at the last meeting and called for some comment. We got some comments from some of you, so thank you for that. Just a reminder that each of these criteria, there are some additional details in the scoring rubric presented last meeting, but generally going up through the list, 30 points for off-road, you know, prioritizing facilities that are both protected from traffic, not, you know, no bike lanes or anything of that nature, but also away from roadways to the maximum extent, looking at traffic safety, minimizing vehicular crossings, at-grade crossings, and especially looking at those high volume at-grade crossings if they were to be necessary in any particular alignment. Connectivity to population, employment, and destinations. We actually identified many of these destinations through our public outreach efforts with a kind of a dot survey. So we took a look at some of those, whether they be schools or whatnot. Equity. Looking at some of the current, we brought in the Justice 40 tracks, as well as looking at federal highway resources. They have some good indexes that really are comprehensive in nature. And then the last four, cost, right-of-way, personal security, and environmental impact, really being a lesser amount. So I think we're looking at anywhere between 170 points here that we're totaling up to. So first want to run through where we've landed initially with East Hartford. We took a look at all these areas that are pictured on this screen. Generally speaking, we were defining our green corridors up here in the north as the Hockenham River Corridor. Really the main concept is there's actually already boardwalk trails kind of in this section of the trail away from the pond. And the idea is to was to upgrade some of those boardwalk. They're actually probably at towards the end of their life currently, and people actually do bike that today. It's a lot of stone dust with a connection over to either the riverfront trails via Main Street or down Pitkin to the Founders Bridge. We took a look at many different combinations of trails within the Silver Lane Corridor. So, you know, we baseline is with the Silver Lane Corridor study. There's recommendations for the side path. Of course, that's the simplest option, but a lot of at-grade option, at-grade road crossings. We've had a lot of conversation with the town of East Hartford about specifically what to do at Robert Street and East Hartford Boulevard, understanding too that those are already high volume intersections and really projected to get even more volume with some of the logistics center that's being developed south of Cabela's here. And some grade separated crossings of Main Street, and then options to either connect directly into the riverfront recapture trails, really south of, you know, towards Goodwin, or coming up through some of these access roads towards Pitkin. So really two options in that western extent. And then the third area that we were really looking at is really this Brewer Street corridor, or the southern area. You know, using the existing side paths along East Hartford Boulevard past really the Rentschler Field, Pratt & Whitney Stadium complex. It gets you pretty close, you know, to Brewer Street. And connections, whether it be on national development property, conversations with VHB of how that could happen with some of the old taxiways and access roads that are on the old Pratt & Whitney parcels that are now owned by national development over to Contractors Road or side path on Brewer Street. Obviously, Brewer Street is a very narrow street, if you're familiar with it. So certainly we understand that there might be needing to be a really further detailed look on what's happening at Brewer Street. And the connection from Brewer Street, whether it be along the Route 2 right-of-way up towards Goodwin University and Riverside Drive, or down past the, there's the Magnet School down here south of Route 2 to get really closer, you know, through the entirety of the Goodwin University campus. So in total, with all the combinations of the segments we were looking at, we actually screened 22 alignments in East Hartford. So we did a lot of these combinations here. Just want to walk through some of the back end. We're actually going to give this to the committee for review, if you so choose, just for reference. But similar to the Simsbury part, we have this worksheet where we present all the data, and just want to work through what this looks like if you're interested in reviewing this. There are all of our segments. We actually had 36 individual segments where we, you know, looked at the lengths, the segments, the number of volume of the ADT cross on the roads, how many roads cross, et cetera. And then further down the list, we have our alignments. Again, 22 alignments. And those alignments could be made up of any number of segments from the top list. So really calculating it that way. We have a very similar summary sheet in a separate Excel that we'll pass that scores these up by each of the criteria. So you'll see down on the left the same criteria that we've been discussing: off-road, traffic safety, connectivity, equity, environment, personal security, et cetera, and showing each of those criteria within each of those categories. So this is a very detailed list. But really, where we're trying to get to this and what we're talking about today is at a summary level, looking at each of those categories as a composite of all those individual criteria, and really where we landed. We'll talk today about 7 of these alignments. We're going to talk about the top 5 scoring alignments, and they're kind of related. There's some little alternates. And then just for reference, we're going to add in 2 alignments that we'll discuss. Just so we can see where things landed, the Silver Lane side path, because that was an initial recommendation from the Silver Lane corridor study, as well as the Hockenham River corridor. And I want to show kind of what happened there and how that scored. So that was not in the top 5, but I want to show that as well. So these are the 7 alignments, as I noted. The top scoring alignments, I want to just note, these are all coded and we'll go through them. Anything that begins with a C is really in that Silver Lane area, and it's a combination of some of these, you know, grade separated crossings, go over Robert Street, go over East Hartford Boulevard, etc. The S is any of those southern options that go towards Brewer Street. So you'll see the top 5 is really showing Silver Lane and the southern alignment. And I'll go over some of the details in a minute. Just for comparison's sake, I want to show what was the Central 9, number 9 alignment there. That was the side path. So I just wanted to show that did not score well, not surprisingly. Some of the traffic safety concerns with some of those, the number of at-grade crossings that would be required in that area. And actually, N2, which is the Hockenham River area, scored poorly as well. And I'll go through some of those so we understand why those scored poorly. So as I mentioned, Hockenham River corridor, the concepts that we had screened, basically the big plan was to upgrade this boardwalk, but to get there from Simmons Road, the concept was to do a side path along Simmons Road and Hillside Street to get up to the entrance of the Hockenham River with an at-grade crossing of Robert Street. on the western side of the Hockenheim River Trail, Central Ave, very residential, multifamily, to upgrade it in some way or to do Sharrow's bike lane, sidewalk type combination, to be determined. Once you get to Main Street in East Hartford, obviously a very high traffic area, the concept was to do a side path down Main Street towards either Silver Lane or on the southern side of Pitkin to get to the Founders Bridge. So those were the two options, variants that we tested with the Hockenheim River corridor. Not surprisingly, it scored poorly in terms of cost. Obviously, a lot of new trail to be constructed with the structure as well. In the environment criteria, the wetlands and floodplain specifically. Somewhat surprising to me when these results first came out was that it didn't perform that well actually in terms of traffic safety. Remember that we're looking in terms of the number of driveway crossings, the number of at-grade roadway crossings, and then as well as the volume of traffic that we're crossing with these alignments. Overall, the best performing Hockenheim River alignment actually scored 19th of the 22 alignments that we screened. So really a recommendation from today is that, you know, we don't advance this corridor further. And just want to highlight, you know, where those high volume crossings were. Roberts Road, Simmons Road, each of those four or five lanes, a lot of traffic in that area. Main Street, in the Main Street area, we had a crossing here of I-84, the on-ramp. We already know that's it's already a tricky location for the town. The best scoring alignment actually came down here to Main Street, but we still got to get across both Main Street and Silver Lane at a diagonal crossing. So again, another area with a lot of traffic in that location. So you know, I think as a project team, we talked about this. It might have been a good concept, but actually the logistics of getting to that area proved difficult with the street network that we had. In terms of the Silver Lane side path, I just want to note, you know, we looked at the side path along the southern side, take advantage of some of the ongoing work in the Pratt & Whitney Stadium area. And the concept was really at-grade crossings all the way past East Hartford Boulevard, past the off-ramp from Route 15, past Main Street at-grade. And then the best scoring side path option was a connection to the riverfront trails under the Route 15 access road. So again, not surprisingly, scored fairly poorly in terms of traffic safety. But also scored poorly in terms of right of way. There's a lot of properties right up against Silver Lane that this would be challenging to coordinate with compared to some of the other options that we looked at. 15th out of the 22 alignment screened. So similar to Hockenheim River, really recommending that the Silver Lane side path option is really not advanced further. So what's that leave us with? These are our top five scoring alignments. You'll see three of them are in the Silver Lane area, and we'll go through these and what these look like. Really difference between the side path is that we're trying to keep this path from these red options, like past the DOT maintenance yard, either a side path on that side street, grade separated crossings of Robert Street, and kind of try to skirt around the I-84 right-of-way to the extent possible to the HOV lanes. So we can bring that up and talk about some of the challenging areas that we need to further explore if we shortlist these options. Minimizing the distance along Silver Lane itself, we got to get past the Route 15 to the west side of Route 15. So that's a common point with these Silver Lane options. And then another common point here is there's actually a lot of right-of-way north of Route 15. Concept is to use some of this DOT right-of-way to do some sort of grade separated crossing over Main Street, and preferably also grade separated crossings of the ramps with an alternate with going to the intersection. So that's really the combination of three alignments that we looked up at Silver Lane. For southern options, they're common in the way that they come down here past Pratt & Whitney Stadium using the existing side path along East Harbor Boulevard. That's the new four-lane road that was built in recent years. Is really used now just for the stadium access for people parked way on the outer fields. But once you get to the end of that road, as I mentioned, two options, either using the existing airport access road on the southern end of the National Development property to tie into the intersection of Contractors Road, or the second option to explore further is to come down here via Pratt & Whitney Access Road to Brewer Street and connection on side path on Brewer Street. In terms of west of Main Street, the Route 2 right-of-way scored higher. It's just simpler in terms of the traffic that you really need to get across, less ramp interference, et cetera. And the right-of-way we can look at is fairly wide between the charter school run by Goodwin and the highway. So here are some of the common points, as I mentioned, you know, grades for the Silver Lane corridor. Really, if we were to make this work, grade separation of Robert Street and or East Harbor Boulevard, one or the other, got to get over that intersection, not at grade. The other common point between these, grade separation of Main Street, another busy road, and then access to the riverfront via Route 15 access road underneath the bridge. We did look at a connection from East River Drive to Pitkin Street. There is some access roads back in there in the Hockenham River area. It doesn't score well. What happens is when you get back on Pitkin Street, it's a very busy area, a lot of highway ramps, a lot of commercial driveways. Really not an area that we want to be directing people if we can make this connection down here to the trails work. Obviously, there's no traffic considerations down in there to the same way as Pitkin Street. Again, the southern corridor, using the stadium property, East Helper Boulevard, noting the restriction here on Brewer Street. We think we have some ideas from our project team, but we want to evaluate those further before we discuss. And, you know, access to riverfront trails via the east side of Route 2 right of way under Ensign. I want to bring up really quick, I want to also get to Bloomfield, but just noting some of these in our data viewer, what this looked like up here in the first starting with Silver Lane. We're taking a look here at the DOT yard, potentially going, I think conversations to date was between the DOT yard and 84, but potentially using some of the DOT yard in some of the unused sections, such as this corner behind the shed, whatnot, to connect in directly with the terminus at Simmons Road. Side path along one of these streets here, this residential street, with the grade separation crossing of Roberts. One thing that we want to note, this area, you know, in the off ramp to Roberts, we know it's fairly low. There's wets down in there, so something that we want to certainly explore more in depth if this option was to be shortlisted. Just noting two differences here. One option was to really go all the way behind these properties to the HOV ramps. Fairly lightly used ramp. It's fairly easy to cross. Again, concern for the, you know, the amount of right-of-way available there, environmental constraints, but there is a vacant parcel here that we've identified that could potentially be further discussed. Around the Silver Lane ramps to Route 15, the thought is, this you see is the common thought to all the alignments, is to get back into the Route 15 right-of-way, north of Route 15. This is all DOT parcels. I think this is actually used to be the toll booth So there's quite a bit of space back in here. And you'll see that, you know, obviously there's the on-ramp. So we've had a lot of internal conversations as what that could look like. But again, another area that we want to further explore if that was to be shortlisted. And then connection down into the riverfront trails is actually already this access road, as you'll see. So whether that is, you know, culverts or great other grade separation across these ramps or to the actual signal, I think we can further explore that. But then that gets you to the existing trails at the riverfront. In terms of the southern area, again, much of this in Simmons Road is up here at the orange and purple line. So coming down Simmons Road to the stadium complex, there's actually a lot of trails already built out in that complex. So this is already existing along all these four-lane roads. See it in the aerial. And then this is where the two options diverge, one being, you know, taking a look at the access road owned by Pratt & Whitney, the other being the access road on national development property. And we're also aware of, you know, potentially some environmental constraints and digging into that a little bit as we go through this process to get to Contractors Road and Simmons. Sorry, Brewer Street, Contractors Road and Brewer Street. And then west on Brewer Street, common point area that we need to further explore. There's a few dozen houses in here. The right of way gets to be about 40 feet. So I'm taking a look at different options in this area. As I mentioned, common to both of the southern options is the idea of using this Route 2 right of way, fairly low grades. There's not too much of a hill here, actually, between the school and Route 2. And you'll see it's a fairly right of way. So the concept is to skirt through the east side of Route 2 to this bridge, where that gets you up to Riverside, past the school campus into the existing trail network. So I put this on in our presentation. There's a link here. You can take a look through the segments and the top five alignments that we were talking about today. So really, where does that take us today? Project team, we're really recommending shortlisting and further evaluating these silver lane alignments that we've discussed, the options of these grade separated crossing C3, C7, C13, as well as the southern options to Brewer Street. Just want to note that where this is in the project, we're not indicating a preferred alternative. It's just allowing further evaluation, conceptual alignments, cross sections, and 3D visualizations as needed. And it's going to allow us as a team to, you know, conduct further stakeholder engagement and site visits based on where we know some of the challenging areas might be. I'm going to skip this slide until we get through Bloomfield. I will pause there, I guess, because that was a lot of content before we get into Bloomfield, to see if there are any questions about East Hartford.
Parker, I'm assuming that when you're talking about anything that's not at grade, you're talking about a bridge.
Bridge or culvert. I think that's something that is really in the next steps of what that would look like.
Yeah, and again, this goes back to costing, obviously, but
yeah.
Okay.
For the purpose of the screening analysis, you know, the alignments are just saying we got to do something at grade to prevent, you know, crossing that amount of traffic that we're looking at. Okay. Bill, you want to run through Bloomfield?
Yeah, thanks, Parker. I'm actually going to hand it over to Mark to take over this portion? And does he have the opportunity to share his screen? Because I know he wanted to walk through some things in Google Earth.
Sure.
Or you can just, Parker, why don't you go to the next slide? I just want to see, maybe I can speak right off the...
Got some of the intro slides, so...
Yeah, those, I think the committee is familiar with all of that. Obviously, similar to what Parker just described in East Hartford, as far as the criteria on the left column there. But I want to get right to the map.
It might be blurry.
Yeah, we do. Mark, I don't know, perhaps, Mark, you hadn't seen the slides I sent to Parker, but there we do have a blow up, an inset for the north Bloomfield and then the southern half, if you want to look at it more closely.
And I can talk through this for the folks who are familiar with Bloomfield. This will probably make more sense as I describe a few things. But essentially, I'm not going to go through as much detail. We do have a lot of segments, and as you mix and match the segments, you make different alignments. But I want to really focus on what is looking like the preferred alignment. I'm going to mention a bunch of things along the way because there are active projects in design and or construction in Bloomfield as well as we go down sort of the preferred corridor. So, and then if I miss something that's important to one of the committee members, you can just ask and we'll cover it. But I want to start in the north where you see the green line. That's the existing Bloomfield Greenway that folks are probably familiar with, the new parking lot there at Day Hill Road. And from that location, we're heading south. And
Parker, I think the next slide will zoom into the north section a bit more. There you go.
There you go. Yeah. So you can see the blue line. It's a solid blue and a dashed blue on top of each other. It's two different segments, but I'm going to sort of talk about them in general together. But the idea is to come down the Griffin Line Rail Corridor for a short piece from Day Hill Road down to Adams Road. And forgive me, I'm looking left and right to my other screens. But essentially, we're coming down to Adams Road and then as a multi-use trail. And then actually, everything I'm going to describe is multi-use trail off-road. If it deviates from that, I'll say it. Otherwise, the assumption should be it's all off-road, either a side path or fully, you know, just a multi-use trail. We get to Adams Road. We cross 189, staying on Adams Road to Boyson Drive, which is a cul-de-sac just left of the 189 highway marker there on the map. And then it's a side path down Boyson to the end of the cul-de-sac. And then once you're past the end of the cul-de-sac, you're onto Deep Property, which is part of that reservoir, Bloomfield Reservoir number 3. And we stay on Deep Property until we get to, you can see the little kink in the blue line there, just right there. Yep. So that's where we hop on next to 189. We hop on to the earthen berm, that is the flood control structure or the water structure. And we have had initial conversations with Deep Office of Dam Safety and NRCS, federal agency, about the concept. And they are, as we left it with them, they were open to the concept and looking for additional information. So that's where that's been left. And so they will get a copy of this study when it's done. Essentially, the alignment coming down on top of the berm is where you see the dashed line and the solid line separate a little bit right there where that sharp V shape is there next to the 83.3 score. That is just the one way of getting through the emergency spillway. Whether we come down off the berm through that dashed light blue line or we stay and come down over the emergency floodway is to be determined. But either way, we get down and we cross Tunxus Avenue or route at 189. At grade with a rectangular rapid flash and beacon crosswalk scenario. And then that gets us back into the public land available next to the Griffin Line, but staying on the west side of the brook that is in there. And that really brings us down to Dorothy Drive. Dorothy Drive is near the Plymouth Drive open space, for those who don't know. and the apartment complex. But we'll come down the Woodside Village apartment complex as a side path and make our way down to Mills Lane. At Mills Lane, we parallel the Griffin line right away again. If the rail line is, you know, if a few feet is available for use, then we'd shift it a little bit away from the private property. But if not, we're into a couple private parcels there. And as we come down, we approach the Winterberry Sacred Heart Church at Winterberry Avenue. And now we're into town center. Here, I just want to mention a couple things. At Wittenberry, the alignment is proposed to go down Jerome Avenue and Seneca Road. While it hasn't been officially, determined, the concept anyway is to turn Seneca Road into a one-way road, thereby allowing the appropriate right-of-way for the multi-use trail. Then we're on to Park Avenue. Seneca Road hits Park Avenue. Now, here, the town of Bloomfield has an active design project that's just getting underway. The town of Bloomfield hired a design consultant to design the multi-use trail from the intersection of Park Avenue and Seneca Road as a multi-use trail side path down to the high school. It's not a long stretch, but it's a challenging stretch with a grade crossing of the active railroad. And the intersection of Park Avenue and Crestview Drive. So that gets us to the high school. That's an active design. It's just getting underway. I don't even think survey's been done yet, but I just wanted to mention it. Mm-hmm. Then from the high school, instead of staying directly on Park Avenue as a side path, we go along school property behind the residential frontage on Park Avenue. By the ball fields until we get to Revere Drive. And then we're back on Park Avenue as a side path past the high school and the intermediate school all the way down to the intersection with Tyler Street as a side path. And we cross Park Avenue at the intersection with Tyler Street. And then we head down the east side of Tyler Street. Now, this is a critical point that I want to mention. When you get to that intersection, that is where a decision point is. The decision point is, do we continue to head east along the Eversource-owned trolley line corridor and head towards Hartford and Keeney Park, that direction? Or do we continue down Tyler Street to Cottage Grove Road and head down towards University of Hartford? And so that's a critical decision point at that location. That's the intersection of Tyler Street and the old trolley line. So from there, if the decision ultimately gets made to go south, we'd continue down Tyler Street as a side path, cross the intersection of Cottage Grove Road at the Copaco Development Center. That's a large node for bus ridership and economic development. And then the town of Bloomfield's working with the private developer who owns a lot of the property behind Copaco. Right now we're leaning towards that green dash line that's scored there. You can see on the screen 84.4. Right now, the developer is in the early stages of their development, so they're open to options there, but right now they're leaning towards the green dash line there, sort of get down to the town line at Toby Road. And then going back up to the intersection of Tyler and the trolley line, Eversource power line right away, that option would be to continue down the right away all the way to Rockwell Avenue, just short of Park Avenue, of Blue Hills Avenue, and then head south across Rockwell over to Wall Street. There's town property that allows a right away through there. And then once on Wall Street, a side path would head over to Blue Hills Avenue, cross Blue Hills Avenue at grade with an existing crosswalk at that intersection, and then head south on the east side of Blue Hills Avenue to the major intersection of Cottage Grove Road and Route 187. From there, while there are a few options, the primary one is to head down Cottage Grove Road on the north side until we get to the only signalized intersection there, which is Packard Street, and cross Cottage Grove Road at a signalized intersection until we're on the cemetery side or the south side of Cottage Grove Road, and continue east all the way to the existing DOT Park and Ride parking lot, which is technically in Windsor. And that's where we pick up with Hartford from there. So with that, I'll pause and see if I've totally confused everyone or if anybody has any questions, and turn it back to you, Parker.
Okay. Same information presented. So I know there's a lot of information just presented between East Hartford and Bloomfield. So here's what we're thinking for both of these studies for the advisory committee, is to actually mail this out, give the advisory committee here 2 weeks to really digest this. We'll give our supporting materials if you really want to go through it with Excel, but really the PDF maps in this presentation are really the critical pieces of information. And we'll send a simple survey to really just get concurrence of where we're headed with the shortlist as we described, or if there's any issues, just with some comments. So obviously, as the advisory committee for the study, certainly would be well appreciated to make that recommendation as a body. I think that 2 weeks brings us to like September 1st. I had on my other slide, but we'll look at emailing this out by the end of the week here, with 2 weeks time. I'll do our reminder halfway through. Just really want to touch on what's happening in the Hartford section of this. As Mark mentioned, you know, we have that decision point, and it's really connected to what's going on south of Bloomfield. If you remember from the last meeting, we are taking an additional look at Griffin Line. We have an amendment to really do some of the more detailed concept design that we really didn't have the scope to do with the original scope. So that was executed July 25th. Among other things, we have additional technical team meetings with the parties that we need, whether it be at Office of Rail or others. Site visit, alternatives analysis specific to the Griffin Line, really looking at the details in design up to four, and preferred alternative visualization, whether they be cross sections, 3D visualizations. And this is really important, a preferred alternative conceptual plan between Albany Ave and Edwards Street. This is really the really where the challenging part of the corridor is, with varying cross section with some of the Homestead Ave properties and some of the structures and bridge structures. I really want to make this point. The focus of this part of our task here is the technical aspects of rail with trail, and just really want to note that rail abandonment and conversion to trail is not a focus of this amendment, just because it is assumed to be physically viable. We're really trying to tackle rail with trail options and taking a look at, again, those four options that we could take a look at specific to the Griffin Line. We did have an internal project team site visit from our end with FHI Studio and the Landscape Architects, also assisting on August 8th. So we are certainly getting underway. Next steps, coordinating with DOT on some monthly coordination calls with the people that we need to be talking with. Again, if you remember to our schedule, we're on a 3 to 4 month timeline. So really trying to make this a quick hit to get to some agreement on what these options could be. We're taking initial GIS approach to identifying some of these key constraints. We know there's some buildings that are right up against the rail line here, some certainly environmental, and delivering just a sense of where those could be to orient the group to some of the challenges on the Griffin line. And we're moving towards identifying 10 cross sections to aid in our alternative analysis. We are operating with this draft from DOT. We got this through the city. Thank you. Taking a look at, you know, the minimal allowable standards, preferred design standards on the Griffin line. You know, first, certainly this is going to be a key graphic here, the minimal allowable standard to the existing rail. So we do have that, and we are working off of that to start. And just a reminder, for the Hartford-Bloomfield gap, we're going to continue the rest of the scope as intended, but we expect our shortlist is going to really include the best Griffin line option, whatever that shakes out to be, in the next best alternative. We have the options through Keeney Park and the Connecticut River that we are also evaluating in tandem to this work on the Griffin line. So just scheduling update, we are not scheduled for the next series of meetings. So currently, this is what I'm proposing. Keeping with our Wednesday theme, I have adjusted the time for CROG's request to 11 to 12:30. These have been running about an hour, but I do book for the hour and a half. Next meeting being October 25th. December 13th and January 31st. I think that'll space things out nicely for check-ins going forward. So I'm just going to end. I know there's a lot of content here. Just stop for comments from anyone on the call. Great, thank you.
Caitlin, Kevin's got his hand up, sorry.
Oh, Kevin, yeah.
Hi, let's see, I'm trying to... Oh, I don't know, I can't get the camera on, that's okay. I'm a little confused about what we saw at the end with the Bloomfield presentation and with the Griffin line. And I also want to make a comment about what was mentioned at the council meeting the other night. So it looked like the highest scoring option was to go down the Griffin line. That seemed to be 30 points or so higher than either of the two alternatives, either to the west or the east, right? There, next slide. Next. Can you go to the next one? There you go. So that that appeared to be the highest, just going down the Griffin line. And that's assumed at this point with that scoring to be rails with trails other than the rail conversion. So I guess I want clarification on that. And then additionally, there was a comment made at the council meeting the other night by one of the councilors about the Griffin line. And I guess I'm curious, it sounds like the Griffin line is abandoned now and is not being used. So I guess I'm just would like more clarification on, is there a reason we're not considering conversion from, you know, from a rail line to a trail line? And I'm not necessarily advocating for that, but, you know, could you give us more detail about that? Thanks.
You want to take the Bloomfield piece, Mark?
Sure, Kevin. Thanks for the question. The Griffin line is not abandoned, so I want to make sure everyone knows that. Last I discussed with the Office of Rail, there was while there might not be a business, a rail-based business actively working, the lease that the DOT has with the operator is still active. And to date, we don't have permission from the Office of Rail to do either option. So that right away is not available to us. This was screened on the assumption that it would be available as a rail with trail option. There was a previous study done by the town of Bloomfield, and they essentially created a concept whereby there was a multi-use trail 15 to 18 feet off the center line of the tracks on the west side, which, as you know, if you know the terrain, that puts you into, you know, wetlands and open water and other things. And so it was an expensive option. So that's my understanding there. And we're going to have continued conversations with CROG and DOT and the Office of Rail moving forward. But, you know, the conversation might be bifurcated, right? I mean, there might be DOT Office of Rail might have one answer for, you know, Hartford up to Cottage Grove Road, and then beyond Cottage Grove Road, maybe something else. We don't know right now. I'll leave it open to Parker or Caitlin to talk further about maybe they've had more recent conversations with the Office of Rail, but that's my understanding.
Go
for it, Parker.
I just wanted to mention, you know, Mark, to your point, the prior study that Mark is referencing for the Griffin line was specific for Bloomfield. So for those reasons, we did, Mark did take a look at that study and really use that as a baseline for the screening analysis. We do not have a similar study for the Hartford piece of the Griffin line. So that's, if you look on the next slide, it's a C note. We have not scored that to a date because no one has taken a look at the technical feasibility of rail with trail from really Cottage Grove south to Hartford. So just really want to make that clear.
Yeah, thanks, Parker.
But just let me confirm, what you're saying is that with the, even with the wetlands issues and et cetera, you use the earlier study, and that with a rails and trails analysis, the scoring on that section is still 30 points higher than either of the two alternatives. And that includes a cost factor and everything else. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's accurate what you stated. The big question is it permissible?
Well, that's true of any of these paths, you know. I mean, again, that's partially taken into account by the easements and ability and so forth. So I just want to make sure I'm understanding this, and we factor that in correctly in looking at it, because, you know, clearly that is a much easier path if we can go down because it's there.
Absolutely. You know, if the rail corridor was, you know, had no active rail on it, it would obviously be the obvious choice. Just go straight down where the tracks used to be. When we start to try to push it off to the left or the right or east and west in terms of rail with trail, it becomes a lot more complicated, and in some sections at least becomes prohibitively expensive.
Yeah, I mean, I want you to just keep in mind, I'm well aware of that, where the 83.6 is, you know, in your map there, that's essentially where I live. So I'm intimately, you know, I've walked a lot of this, and so I'm intimately connected, you know, familiar.
Yeah, with understood.
So I know exactly what you're saying, and that's why I guess I think that we need to really be focused on this question of, quote, active rail. As far as I know, Home Depot is no longer using the Griffin line, and, you know, whether there's a lease or not, that all needs to be taken into consideration and figured out. And so I'm glad everyone is aware of it. I just want to make sure I understood what the parameters were here.
Right. No.
And how we're moving forward.
Thank you. Yeah. And don't forget, you know, the Office of Rails, you know, their mission is, you know, in addition to many other things, you know, freight, you know, rail statewide. So they're not in the business of giving up freight corridors. And so it's an open conversation. I can say that the department has been much more open to discussing it than in past decades. So that's definitely progress in the right direction.
I wanted to add, sorry, Parker. I just wanted to say, I appreciate your question, Kevin, because it seems we focused a lot on like the blue and, you know, the purple, and not so much on the, what seems to be the highest scoring one. And I think it makes sense to explain that, like, you know, the familiarity that we have based on the prior study with Bloomfield and the Griffin Corridor probably, I think, is why, you know, Mark chose to focus on the other route. And then I think also it would be good to consider as we move forward as an advisory committee, I think helpful, the consultant team and everybody here to make sure we have like a shared vocabulary for how we refer to the rail corridor, as far as saying, you know, whether it's abandoned or inactive, underutilized, but knowing that like abandonment, I think, has, you know, a very specific mm-hmm. meaning when it comes to this particular rail corridor. So just that's something that maybe we can keep in mind as it for the team, and we can maybe come back and just figure out exactly what we mean when we refer to certain things, and that we're on the same page when we go, you know, to the public as well.
Yeah, right. Underutilized is a good balanced term. The other two have a lot of connotations and technical definitions and legal definitions.
Yeah, I mean, I Jonathan TC, and I would agree. I think that underutilized and or not abandoned would be the two terms, because people are going to get, you're going to get pushback on saying it's active, because, you know,
it implies there's.
Right. So,
it's inactive.
That's the way to say, you know, it's not abandoned. It is still a legitimate rail corridor, but it's not being, you know, it's not currently being actively used.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you for answering the question.
Yeah, I just finally want to clarify, Kevin. I know that to Caitlin's point, there was a lot of conversation on this solid blue line because that's something new to the group. We are at a point in the process where we're just trying to shortlist two options. I think that's the Griffin Line Rail with Trail option, and one other option is looking to shape up to be that shortlist where we further evaluate what those two options are and then have that conversation as a group. So we're really just trying to narrow the list to really be able to fully look at these options in depth.
No, I understood, and I saw that in the note of the Griffin Trail and the Griffin Line and one other option. I was trying to understand what we were seeing here and make sure it was consistent with, you know, with my understanding. So
gotcha.
I agree with that. I would also point out, and this is just a general comment, from the point of view of the state, if we have an office of rail traffic and we are trying to promulgate freight traffic, then we might also have an office of no logistics and no mega warehouses. you know, there should be a consistent policy because the way you'll promote freight is if you don't allow other means of transportation. That's just a general comment. Thanks.
Anybody else? Like Parker said, we presented quite a bit, and happy to dive into any of the details with the consultant team at the ready for you for any of your questions. But also understand if you want to take some time to digest the sheer volume of information that was presented. And Parker, I think you mentioned this as well. We'll be sending around sort of follow-up information and asking for input on, you know, whether we're headed in the right direction on the shortlist options. And I think at that point, too, we would be looking to, we're scoped to meet with, and stop me at any point if I'm getting this incorrect on our timeline here, Parker. We're scoped to meet with sort of municipal leadership at key points in the process. And I think right about now would be one, we'd be looking, so, you know, advisory committee to weigh in on what the shortlist options would be, and then would be looking for concurrence from, I think, leadership, just so, and then I think it would be a good point with which to talk to, you know, whether it's your mayors or whoever, to like make sure that they have buy-in on our process up to this point. So we would probably be having similar meetings and a presentation with them, just sort of a very small group one-on-one to walk them through our process that we've been through thus far so that they can be on board with the decision-making that's been done. And again, sort of concur with the recommendations from the advisory group and the consultant team on the shortlist. Is that an accurate representation, Barker?
Yep.
Any other questions? And I would also just flag, since we're headed into, you know, some additional public comment opportunity portions of our scope, if there are groups that you think we need to be talking to, please make sure that you flag those for us. We obviously have identified a couple of key stakeholders through our routing, you know, alignments and screening criteria process, and we've had some and we'll have more. But if there are particular organizations, or grassroots groups, whatever it is that we need to talk to as well, we should get those flagged sooner rather than later, obviously. So.
Great. Well, thank you very much for everyone attending. As always, we're reachable via email, phone call, and we will be in touch by the end of this week with all that additional information.
And one last thing, Parker, do we formally open up the public comment? I don't know that we have anybody here from the public, but
I did ask for anyone
okay.
on the call.
Okay. So I couldn't remember.
Should be covered.
I want to make sure I give everybody an opportunity.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.